Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Today I'm going to explain to you who's behind the Ukraine violence. You'll see that all of it leads back to George Soros, in my opinion. You'll find out that it's not what you think it is. We're going to also have a live interview with the great Donald Trump at 30 minutes after the hour, since he's up in New Hampshire and back from New Hampshire and apparently is thinking of running. Let me tell you something. I think he could beat Hillary. So we're going to have Donald Trump on to answer your questions, see what you think. In the second hour, we're going to talk about the looting of paintings from San Francisco's art museums. I know you're saying, who cares? You listen to me. Listen to me. Where have all the paintings gone? There's almost 1,000 pieces of art that have gone missing under the watchful eye of the San Francisco Arts Commission. Now, they may not be missing. They were borrowed, but we don't know by whom. This is something that the Soviet Union saw when the art museums were looted by the Politburo. This should make everyone angry across America. This should require an FBI task force investigating the San Francisco Arts Commission, the board of directors of the DeYoung Museum. Where are those paintings? Who has them? They're the public trust. And what's interesting and ironic here is that the person who broke this story, or I should say the newspaper that broke this story, is about as far left as you get. They hate me, they've skewered me, but they've run out of people to attack because it's a one-party system in the San Francisco area. So now they're going after the very, very, very well-connected sorority girls who run the museum, who are self-trading. Here's an alarming story. The FCC is going to monitor newsrooms. This is hard to believe. The Obama administration is getting more fascistic by the day. There's a plan that's leaked out that would have them send their minions into newsrooms and radio rooms across the country in order to monitor what we say on the radio, and to make certain that minorities and women are represented in the way the government wants them represented. So in other words, if I report on the epidemic of black-on-white crime across America that is being purged by Google and by the AP, I would now be in trouble with the FCC. What happened to the freedom of the press that the liberals believed in? You haven't read your Animal Farm. So they're going to weaponize the Federal Communications Commission to sniff out newsrooms, and all of you good liberals are in favor of that? You flat earthers, you? There are other topics that I'm going to talk about on the program today, many other topics. I do want to explain the Ukraine and the connection to Soros's open institutes. It's a repeat of what happened in Egypt. It's a repeat of what happened in Syria. It's a repeat of what happened in the Arab Crescent. And it's happening there. The difference here is that Russia's not going to stand for it. Now that I've begun with the hard news, I'm going to go to the fun news. I woke up this morning at dawn. I was agitated again by the news. Was afraid to get out of bed to think about what I had to talk about. It's getting more depressing by the day. This man smiles his way through virtually any crime, any scandal. Christie with the bridge scandal is nothing. Yet they've already named it Bridgegate and spend hours on it on CNN. Hours on Bridgegate. Not a minute on IRSgate. Not a minute on Spygate. Not a minute on the other gates that Obama is behind. And now it's, of course, the end of the First Amendment gate. I was agitated and I said, I don't know if I can do this anymore. This is starting to get to me again. And what happened was I started to create new names for my political zoo. I'm saying, look, if I revise the book, The Political Zoo, which I did in 2005, I'd have to take out some people who were dead or gone from politics and put in new ones. So what would that be? I said, okay, I'd put in John, and I started to laugh. It'll take a minute. Let me share my laughter with you. If I were to put these folks into my political zoo, John Boehner would go in with the Latin binomial Clinkus Meltus, the melted ice cube. Ted Cruz would go in there as Coffea Americas Blandus, the bland American coffee bean. I'd have to put Eric Cantor into the political zoo under the Latin name Bagelus Stalus. Bagelus Stalus, the stale bagel. I don't know why every time I see Eric Cantor, I think of a four-day-old bagel. Ann Coulter would make it into the political zoo. She would be Screechus Righteous. Then, of course, we'd have to put Chris Christie into the political zoo under the Latin name Rotundus Bridges Too Faris, the big round bridge too far. I have to add Joe Biden, crackpotus overbite us. What would the political zoo be without Valerie Jarrett in there, Iranian plantus? And then, of course, I thought, as I was about to put my slippers on and get out of bed for the first cup of coffee, I have to put Mitt Romney in there under the Latin name Nice Gaius Fallus. And so you could see I'm already revising my book. Oh, yes, Marco Rubio. This really got me going. I started to laugh over coffee. I would name him in Latin Double Talkus Ice Cream Manus. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 855-400-7282. I know that I want to talk about the Ukraine because it's the most important question of the day. Many of you don't understand what's going on, and your instincts would be on the side of the protesters. You would think that the protesters are the nice guys and the government of the Ukraine are the bad guys. So let's look at the protest in the Ukraine and analyze it for a few minutes. First of all, let's bring it on home, man. Let us say anti-government forces in America were heavily armed, and they shot policemen, killed five policemen, captured 70 policemen, Federal Park Police, captured them, took them prisoner, and then burnt down the nation's capital. And then what if Putin told Obama not to do anything about it? What if Putin said to Obama, you better keep your nose out of that. You better not send in the military against those peaceful protesters. Well, that's exactly what's happening in the Ukraine. It's not in our sphere of influence. This is more meddling by the warmongers, the military-industrial complex, George Soros, in my opinion, and his open Democrat society nonsense. This is a nightmare. It's a total nightmare. We have no business there. And yet John McCain, that old warmonger, the old warmonger John McCain, is threatening war again. Once again, the troublemaking moron, the clueless salesman of the Yak, the car called the Yak. See, I thought that McCain and Cindy should have gone to Tibet a long time ago and opened up a Yak dealership. Not even selling cars, but selling Yaks. Would you buy a used Yak from this man? Senator John McCain, who had the nerve to go to Egypt after they threw the Muslim Brotherhood out and said, we don't want those fascists here, even though Obama foisted the fascist Muslim Brotherhood on us, and they used the military to throw the fascist Muslim Brotherhood out. McCain and Lindsey Graham had the audacity to go to Egypt and lecture the Egyptian people that they should take the Muslim Brotherhood back as their leaders. And now McCain wants war, apparently, this lunkhead with Russia. Now, many of you are saying, well, wait a minute, Mike, let's be clear on this. How are you taking sides? Well, let's say that I'm not taking sides as much as to say we shouldn't take any side, and we shouldn't be hoodwinked into thinking that the so-called protesters are as innocent as the driven snow. They're not as innocent as the driven snow. They're well-funded. They're well-funded. They're well-armed, and it's a scam. It's a scam. And the website doing the best job on this is Prison Planet by Alex Jones. The best articles are by Paul Joseph Watson. These videos that are being put out are well-orchestrated by the same people who gave us Obama. Okay? The parasites are there. And the European Union is salivating to smash down the borders of the Ukraine and flood the country then with third worlders and then have a loop, an entry point into Russia itself. It's unbelievable to me how you can't see this. And the media is upset over the Pussy Riot, degenerates being beaten by Cossacks as though they didn't ask for it. Now, why does the Ukraine look like Syria, asks Lou Rockwell on Prison Planet. Did you know that the U.S.-backed Ukrainian protesters were using guns to shoot at the police in Kiev? They captured security forces. They burnt down the capital. A dozen police officers have been captured by so-called innocent demonstrators. This is the Arab Spring all over again. George Soros' money was behind it. Zbigniew Brzezinski was the architect of it. And Barack Obama was the godfather of it. We need to stay out of the Ukraine. We don't need World War III. So I want to talk about that. And remember, at the bottom of this half hour, rather, at 34 after the hour, we're going to have Donald Trump on, who I assume is going to be a presidential candidate. I actually hope he will be. I think he's the only one who could defeat Hillary, incidentally. And as a skilled businessman, I think he could actually do a great job to restore America's confidence in itself. He's also a great supporter of the U.S. military. I mean, you're never going to get 100% out of anyone. Let's be very clear. You're never going to get 100% out of a candidate. There's no 100% candidate. I'll take 70 at this point rather than zero. I'll take your calls now at 855-400-7282. By the way, Savage beat Hannity in New York City, Dallas, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and Detroit by a landmile. The show opened January 1st, and it's on a run. It's on a roll. It's on a roll. I opened it, and it's doing very well. The only place you can hear about that is on my show or on michaelsavage.com. I am blacked out on all the websites because they're all in the camp with Wallbanger and his minions. Tony on WABC, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Uncle Mike, it's a pleasure to speak to you. You are a communications genius. You're your own personal conglomerate. You can take the most complex issues facing this country and this world and make them easy enough for a guy like me to understand and see the point you're making about how we're going down a rat hole real quick.
And I brought up the Ukraine. See, the reason I want to focus on the Ukraine is because it's a very dangerous situation, number one. And most people in America are bewildered by it. They don't know which side to take. And they're being lied to by the liberal media where they say, oh, Putin's the bad guy and the protesters are just these innocent girls with lipstick who are trying to get some freedom and join the European Union. It's not quite as simple as that.
You know what I say to people, Uncle Mike? If Venezuela went in to try to take Puerto Rico, would the United States let it happen? What makes you think Putin's going to let the West...
Wait a minute. Right now there are riots going on in Venezuela by pro-democracy people who do not like the communist dictatorship that followed Chavez, and it's mainly high school and college students who see no future for themselves in Venezuela. Why don't we hear John McCain talking about intervention in Venezuela to help the protesters?
Now you know what?
Because they're not left-wingers. These are the average middle-class kids who are being killed over there by this idiot who followed Chavez, the dictator who was a good friend of Obama.
Hang in there, Uncle Mike.
Well, I'll hang in there. As long as I have listeners like you who understand where I'm coming from, that's all I need. And my dog, Teddy, 855-400-7282. By the way, Bill O'Reilly has not accepted my invitation to come on the show or for me to go on his show to discuss the 10 questions he did not ask President Obama, and also to explain why he termed President Obama a patriot. No one could believe he would say a thing like that, and yes, he did. 855. Do I have time for one more call? 855-400-7282. Give me 15 minutes, and I will give you America. If you care to talk about the Ukraine, if you care to talk about George Soros' involvement in all of this upheaval on planet... By the way, if you think that George Soros and his pro-democracy movement, so-called, is doing this simply because they want democracy, I've got another guest coming for you because I've analyzed this from the point of view of some money. It's all about money. People are asking, is George Soros' organizations behind the Ukraine unrest? And they would say, well, why? I mean, they've seized weapons. They've taken over government buildings. They've fired guns on media outlets. They are U.S.-backed Ukrainian protesters. And they're being given legitimacy by the vermin in the media in America. Who started this? Well, some are saying it's George Soros. Why? I'll tell you in a minute, but remember this. It may be tied to his short sale of 7 million shares of the Standard & Poor's 500 fund. He sold 7 million shares on a put. Why? Because he wants the markets to collapse in order to capitalize on a falling market. And there's no better way to have a market collapse than to start war somewhere on Earth. You say it can't happen. You say wars are not started by a single man. And I'll say Rothschild. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN. The only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
There's going to be a lot of violence, and the only thing I think that is holding Vladimir back right now is he wants to see the Olympics completed. I don't know what he does. I can't predict it, but he's not going to go quietly into the night. What we need to do is have them be part of the European Union and an IMF bailout, which we should be part of to help them with their economy.
Do you hear this moron, McCain? Do you realize this man was a hairbreadth away from becoming president, and he shot himself in the foot, thank God, as he set off the rockets, the Zuni rockets on the aircraft carrier. Again, he set off the rockets and shafted his own presidency, his hopefulness to be president. This is a guy saying we should help bail out the Ukraine through the IMF. Does he think it's the Eisenhower years, and we've just won World War II, and we have unlimited funds? Where is the money supposed to come from, John? What are you talking about, John? It's not in our sphere of influence, John. Why must we break another nation's sovereignty, John? What do you want to do, break the borders of the Ukraine so they can be flooded with Albanians? Is that what you want? Would you like Albanians? How many other people do you want to flood into the Ukraine? How many other people do you want to come in from Turkey into the Ukraine as they join the EU? Don't you understand what's going to happen and what they're after here? If you want to make an omelet, you've got to break a few eggs, said Karl Marx. Right now, the egg is the Ukraine, and they're trying to make a new omelet called the New Soviet Union of the European Union.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'm picking up.
It is 34 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. You know, my new motto is, give me 15 minutes and I'll give you the world. And boy, are we talking about the world today. We're talking about the Ukraine and who's really behind it. And don't be so sure that the protesters are so innocent, by the way. But I want to switch gears now and talk to a man who you've come to know, not only through this show, but many shows. He was just in New Hampshire, which indicates perhaps that there's something in the wind, and that's a man by the name of Donald Trump now joins us on the Savage Nation. Donald, how are you?
Hello, Michael.
So, Donald, you were just in New Hampshire. You had an altercation with a slimy reporter, which I've been following with interest. He ate your food, and then he put you down in the media, that idiot. Are you going to run for the office? You can't say yet.
It's very interesting. The politics and eggs, it's a thing that's been going on in New Hampshire since about 1990. And we broke every record up there. It was phenomenal. They had CNN, they had Fox, they had everybody. They had tremendous numbers. And this slime ball, this guy from BuzzFeed, which is a pretty irrelevant thing, but he did a story. And, I actually did him a favor because he's a friend of one of the people that worked for me, and I did him a favor, and they got out because, that was during the big snowstorm. And he wrote this totally fictitious piece that was absolutely disgraceful, which tells you that if you're a conservative, these guys will lie, and what they'll do is unbelievable. Real sleazy guy.
I remember your plane couldn't land. Your plane couldn't land in LaGuardia because of the storm, so you were going to Florida. And so you offered him a ride, and you gave him all your hospitality that you give all your guests at your great Mar-a-Lago, and then he turned around and stabbed you in the back and invented stuff.
Really a disgusting guy. I mean, you look at him and you could see it. And I actually predicted it, in all fairness. I told my guy, I said, look, you can't get a fair shake from these guys. But BuzzFeed, I think it's called, is just sleaze, and this guy's a sleazeball. And I said, you'll never get a fair shake from him. He said, Mr. Trump, I guarantee. I said, all right, so here's the deal. If it's fair, and I'm not, I devoted very little time. You know, it makes it sound like you spent a lot of time. I devoted extremely little time to him. But I said, here's the deal. If it's fair, I'm telling you it won't be. But if it's fair, that's great. And if it's not fair, we'll fire you. Is that okay? He said, yes, that's fair. And he was very
young. The guy who worked for you, he quit, though, didn't he? The guy who worked for you quit after this?
Resignation because of what happened. And he was totally used. And you know, the guy's story was fiction. It was disgusting. And
I heard he was ogling the waitresses at Mar-a-Lago.
He was having a good time, it sounds like to me. I don't
know. He was a happily married man who was ogling the waitresses.
Well, he was.
Donald, let's get serious here. Political ambitions. Are you going to run?
Please. I will certainly be looking at it. Right now, as you know better than anybody, we have an election coming up in 14 that's so important and
right.
So vital. And I really think that if they play up Obamacare big league, they're going to end up winning the Republicans. I really think they have some good candidates. They don't have to win so much. You know, you're talking about 6 seats, and maybe they could even do 7 or 8 is from what I'm hearing. But I really think that they have a very good chance because of one simple thing. Well, really a number of things. Number one, we're a laughing stock all over the world. Number two, the economy stinks and jobs are, you know, not in this country. They came out with a report 2 weeks ago, the worst in 37 years, which is inconceivable. So you have the jobs, you have the lack of respect for the country. But Obamacare is such a catastrophe because it's right in your face. And, you know, there's no silicone there. You're not going to be able to get away with it. You're not going to be able.
But Donald, as a businessman, I'm assuming you would cut taxes. You would shrink government. Would you rein in NSA spying? Would you cut out the spying on innocent people? That's a very big issue.
Well, you know, I happen to feel, and this is a very interesting issue because when you look at Snowden, and I have friends that are very conservative, and they feel totally and very liberal. And frankly, everyone feels totally different. It doesn't matter. I have conservative friends that hate Snowden and consider him a traitor and a spy and everything else. And then I have others that are conservative that say that he did a service to the country because of what's happened, okay?
Well, I'm in the latter camp. I know you actually called for his execution as a spy.
I think he's a disgusting human being. I think he's...
Well, we differ on that, but how would you restore the American military, which has been decimated under Obama?
Well, the first thing we have to do is make some money. This country is losing tremendous numbers of jobs. Our economy, and I've been talking to this about to you and others for 3, 4, 5 years now. What's happening in China? Look at China's economy; they're booming, and other countries, not just China. China's the number one abuser, but you look at what's happening with China and other countries; they're taking our jobs, and we don't have money. We have a workforce that's not working. We have a workforce where we have a phony, 6.7, 6.8 unemployment rate, but that's totally phony because when you stop looking for a job, they take you off as though you found a job. I mean, the real number is probably 21, 22%. It could even be higher than that. So we have a country that has massive deficits, owes $18 trillion very soon. $18 trillion, a number you didn't even hear about, Michael, years ago. I mean, 2, 3 years ago, you never heard the word trillion. There was no such word. And now all of a sudden, it's like commonplace. And
how does that, Donald, come on. You're a big business guy. You're in a league that most of us can't even understand. How does this ever get solved? How do we ever solve this debt?
You solve it through energy. You solve it through manufacturing jobs. You solve it from bringing jobs back into our country. I don't know if you know what's going on in Mexico, but Mexico is taking tremendous numbers of our jobs right now, beyond what anyone has any on. I mean, it's going to be at a record-setting pace. So,
but why then are they flooding us with the poorest of the poor? Why are they flooding America with the poorest of the poor? But Donald, are you still in favor as you were a few years ago on my show? Remember years ago I wrote a book called Trickle Down, the Poverty Book, and I called for sanctions, to all Chinese goods should have a tariff on them. And you agreed with that. Would you still impose tariffs on Chinese goods?
Even more so. Because it was bad 3 or 4 years ago. By the way, they charge tax on our cars. You know, when we send trucks over there, they impose a tariff. We don't know, nobody knows this, but they impose a tariff when we're selling trucks. They don't want the trucks to be made here. They want the trucks to be made over there. They tariff us and they tax us, but we're not allowed to do anything for them. And then you have all these guys talking about free trade. I believe in fair trade. You know, the word
right.
Trade is not the right word. It's fair trade. Well, they're taxing us, but we don't tax them. They're taking our jobs. They're manipulating their currency. And this isn't just China. This is others. But China is really doing a great job of it. There's never been any group or country that's done a better job of it, Michael. So, you know, you and I have been talking about this for a long time. So when you talk about the military, we need to make money in the country, and we need to do lots of good things. One of the things we have that we didn't even know we had 5 years ago is we have tremendous energy because of technology. We have tremendous energy under our feet, but we're being allowed to get it. Now, North Dakota is doing a good job doing it privately, and, you know, it's a boom state. It's doing fantastically well. We have tremendous energy right smack under our feet. We could become the energy capital of the world, and guess what? We're not doing it. So there are.
I know that if you were president, by executive order, you would approve the Keystone XL pipeline in one day, and Americans would benefit. The price of gas would go down. Right now, the Canadians are threatening to transport that oil by pipeline to Vancouver and ship it to China. What sense does that make for Obama to block it?
Well, you know, first of all, I would approve it. And second of all, you don't even need it because we have so much energy. We don't need Canada's energy either, as much as I love Canada. We don't need Canada's energy. I would still approve it because, you know what, it doesn't do anything negative to the environment, and it's a lot of jobs to build it. But we don't even need it because we have so much energy ourselves that you don't need pipelines to bring energy in from Canada. The country has such potential, but we're not using it, and that's why. And now you get back to the question of military. To have a great military, you also need money. You have to be able to afford it. Where you look at what's gone on in so many different places throughout the world, they don't respect us. Syria, Putin just ate our lunch in Syria. And I watched yesterday as President Obama started talking about what's going on in the Ukraine. And I say, oh, here we go again. And you can just imagine, because, you know, the Ukraine is their neighbor to Russia. You can just imagine what Putin is saying about Obama, you know, making these statements about.
Well, right, it's in his sphere of influence. It's not in our sphere of influence. I don't believe we have any business there, and I don't want to see World War III. But, Donald, you're a businessman, and you're well known as a businessman. You've threatened to run in the past and never did. Let me just say this. Who knows what you're going to do? It's up to you. I would encourage you to run. We don't have a candidate who I think can beat Hillary other than you. I'll go out on a limb and say it right now. Whoever the conservatives are thinking of putting up there, there may be good guys. They can't beat Hillary. You could. And I think you should run.
Well, we're looking at it very strongly, and we are watching 14 because obviously we have to get that done first. But I believe that the country is in unbelievable shape. And, you know, Hillary, who I know very well, but she certainly had a rough number of years as Secretary of State. I mean, what went well for us? Nothing. Nothing went well.
Nothing.
And nothing.
If, and, you know, she actually owns the Arab Spring, and that probably, as you well know, is the Arab Winter, which I defined it within a month of its beginning. But, Donald, I think your strongest calling card is the economy, the economy, the economy. You're a businessman. America is a nation of business. And I think they would resonate with that simple message. But I want to ask you something, because I don't know where you stand on it. And you may disagree with me. I'm vehemently opposed to amnesty for illegal aliens for a whole slew of reasons. I believe in borders, language, and culture. Where do you stand on amnesty for illegals?
Well, pretty much what you just said. Look, you can't. When you have a country, you have to have a country. You have to have a wall. You can't let people in. And if people come in illegally, you can't just say, oh, it's fine. And by the way, if you're in Europe and if you're in other places throughout the world, various places in Asia, and you want to become a citizen of this country, it's a virtual impossible. It's virtual.
That's right.
Impossible.
And Donald, I have a friend who just went to a small Caribbean nation on vacation. And she came back and she said the border agent said to her, or the customs agent, of course we have voter ID here. He said, how could you vote in the country if we don't know who you are?
Yeah.
We're the only Western nation that doesn't have voter ID. How in the world can that go on?
Well, that's one of the classics is voter ID, where they say that you're racist, you're a horrible human being if you want to see somebody's identification before they vote. I cannot believe they can get away with this stuff, but they certainly are doing an awfully good job of trying. And frankly, the Republicans have to get a lot tougher. They have to get a lot smarter. Or they're not going to have a Republican Party. You're not going to have anybody that's going to vote Republican anymore.
Absolutely. It's a dead brand. I mean, when you've got them doing very little. People are calling Mr. Trump and asking, would you run as a Republican or as an independent if you decided to run?
If I decided to run, I'd run as a Republican. I am a Republican, but I'd run as a Republican because, frankly, the three-party system is very, very difficult. A lot of people...
I agree. I agree 100%. I told people you start a third party, you're guaranteeing a Democrat victory.
Another one, you guarantee that. Now, you could also say Ralph Nader didn't exactly help Mr. Gore get elected.
No.
Without Ralph.
No, I remember that fabulous Texas businessman who lifted up the hood that we all loved. Back in the Clinton years, Ross Perot, he gave the Democrats the election.
Without Ross Perot, you have Bush gets another term. I mean, you know, Bush Sr. gets another term. Ross Perot right. was a disaster. You know, look, I like Ross Perot, but he certainly hurt the Republicans. There's no question about that.
Right. So I'm totally opposed to a third-party concept because you can't win, but you can put a more conservative plank into the Republican Party, which is what I think you are suggesting here, correct?
Well, I think there's no question about it. And the Tea Party, which is just being scoffed at by everybody, these are great people. They love the country probably as much or more than anybody, and they are just being scoffed at and treated extremely unfairly. And I know so many people in the Tea Party. I've made many speeches in front of the Tea Party. These are people that want to see the country be great again. And it's amazing the abuse they have to take.
Donald, listen, right now, if you were to announce your candidacy, I think 98% of the people listening to my radio show would run out to the polls and buy whatever it is you're selling because you've hit 100 on my show today.
Well, that's very nice of you, and I love your show, and you're a special guy, and you love the country, and we all love the country. We want to see something good. A lot of people love the country that don't have necessarily the right ideas, and we're going to have to give them the right ideas because we're not going to have much of a country left if we keep going along this path.
Well, you know, I'm an immigrant's son, and strangely enough, the show now is a dream that anyone would want. The Savage Nation is on in New York on the powerhouse ABC, as you probably know.
I do.
Chicago, Dallas, San Francisco, Washington, Detroit. And the show is doing so great because I'm putting everything into it. You, of all people, know what it's like to build a new business. You also know what it's like to open a new business and have it succeed from day one. And, Donald, this show is succeeding from day one in this new time slot. And I want to thank you very much for taking the time out to be with us today on the Savage Nation.
Well, I know for a fact you have a great show. But by the way, your show, over the years, I've known how good it is and how good you are. And I love being on your show anytime, and you know that, Michael.
Donald Trump, please go for the gold. Thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation. Folks, you just heard it. You heard everything you ever wanted to know, but more. It's 49 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation, your Defense Department. I think Donald Trump should run. I think that everything he said was quite truthful and resonated, I believe, with most of you in the right way. I didn't know where he was going to stand on immigration. You know, usually big businessmen are for open borders. He was clearly against them. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the Ukraine, and I want to teach you that the the lies you're being taught that these uprisings are just a grassroots uprising is a lie. It's orchestrated. It's staged. It's what went on in Libya. It's what went on in Egypt. It's what went on in Syria. These protests are not spontaneous. They are being orchestrated, and I think I know what the sources of this orchestration are. Some are indicating that there's big money behind it. Some think it may be the George Soros Open Society gangsters behind the Ukraine unrest, and this is tied to dollars and cents. He recently short-sold 7 million shares of the S&P 500 fund. 7,090,000 shares of the SPDR S&P 500 ETF in his private $1.3 billion fund. He took a $1.3 billion position, rather, in short selling in this fund against the S&P fund. Why? Because with unrest somewhere in the world, the market usually gets nervous and drops like a rock. So if you short sell, you make another fortune.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
It is blowing in the wind. Turmoil. Since this left-wing regime took over America, the whole world is in turmoil. Since Obama took power, the whole world is turned on its head. The whole world is in turmoil. First it was Libya, then it was Egypt, then it was Syria. Now it's the Ukraine. When will it end? Will it come to our streets? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're talking about the Ukraine unrest, if you want to put it that way. We're going to go into all the details of it. You're going to get my opinion again that it's not in our backyard, it's in Russia's backyard, number one. And number two, the protesters are not as innocent as you may think. They're well-armed, they're well-funded. Some of them have sniper rifles. They are using Molotov cocktails against the Interior Ministry troops. They have captured over 70 of the government troops and have put them into an internment camp. And of the 26 people killed, by the way, 10 of them are of the troops themselves. So don't fall to the American propaganda that these are just innocent children in tight jeans with Blackberries in their back pockets. Remember when it was the Blackberries in the back pockets in Egypt, and Anderson Cooper and the other fools in the media got excited because they were young men with tight jeans? Remember that?
Ooh, they're young men. Hey, they're just like us. Look at that. They got tight jeans. And they have Blackberries. They must be the good ones.
You don't remember that? It was the same exact narrative all over again, but it's not the same exact story all over again. And there may be a devil behind it all. There may be a devil in it just for the money. You see, if you can make things burn and break, the stock market gets jittery and it usually goes down. And if you've bet against the stock market by short selling an enormous amount of shares, you make another fortune. And some people have seen this behind it all. They know how the game is played. They know it goes back to the original, I was going to say Rockefellers. I didn't mean Rockefeller, but you could put the old man into that one. No, I don't mean Rockefeller at all. We're going back to the Rothschild days, and we have a new Rothschild. A new Rothschild who said, don't give me control of a nation. Give me control of its currency, and I'll control the nation. And he's a man who's made his fortune by manipulating currencies. So we're talking about the Ukraine. We had Donald Trump on in the last hour. I thought it was a sterling interview. I personally think he'd be a great president. And I would encourage him to run. I think he's the only one who could beat Hillary, incidentally. And I'm going to say one further thing about Donald Trump coming on the show. We only invited him on either late last night when his office was closed or early this morning. And he graciously agreed to come on the show right away. We have invited Ted Cruz on the show for well over a year. He will not come on this show. None of the so-called conservatives who appear regularly on Fox News will come near this audience. Ask yourself why. Donald Trump is not afraid to face me or you, while the others are hiding behind their so-called credentials of being so independent. That's one topic. There are other topics. Now, I want to play clip two of Obama about freedom of assembly and freedom of the press. You got to hear clip two.
I don't think there's a competition between the United States and Russia. I think this is an expression of the hopes and aspirations of people inside of Syria and people inside of the Ukraine, who recognize that basic freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, fair and free elections, the ability to run a business without paying a bribe,
God,
to not be discriminated against because of your religion.
Let's stop right here. This rubbish has got to stop. The freedom of speech that he's talking about existed before he became president. He has curtailed freedom of speech. The freedom of free elections is long over in this country. We don't even know who's counting our votes. The ability to run a business without paying a bribe, Teddy? How many different fees do you have to pay to government officials to even open a business in this country, to keep a business going in this country? How many inspectors do you have to pay in the United States of America to keep a business going, whether it be the EPA or the other gangsters in the administration? And so, therefore, when we hear this stuff, and then we learn today that the White House is going to create a new organization to go into newsrooms in the United States. I'm not making this up. The Obama administration itself is pushing forward with an FCC project that would send the nose of government researchers into newsrooms and radio stations across the country. Do you know why? Listen, the touted purpose of the Obama communists is, quote, to identify and understand the critical information needs of the American public with special emphasis on vulnerable, disadvantaged populations, close quote. That means whatever Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson once said will be said by Michael Savage over my dead body. The day they send one of those gangsters into this studio is the day I leave radio. I'll tell you right now, no one's telling me what to say. None of those civil rights gangsters are coming in here and telling me what I can say. Ever. Ever. Never. And one of the FCC commissioners, Ajit Pai, is alarmed by this. He said that the notion is aimed at giving government entities under Obama the ability to grill reporters, editors, and station owners about how they decide which stories to run. They want more stories about minorities and more stories about the oppressed women. And they want fewer stories about crime committed by such. If that's not dictatorship, if that's not censorship, tell me what is. And that's Obama, again, saying one thing while doing another. Telling us we should be concerned about freedom of speech and freedom of the press in the Ukraine, while at the very same time he's killing it here in the United States of America. And so now we bring it back home. We bring it back home to the situation in the Ukraine. And I'd like to know what you think about this. 855-400-7282. Let's go to KSFO in San Francisco. Beverly, go ahead, please. Beverly, you're on the Savage Nation. Are you there?
Yes.
Dead in the water. Let's go to the next caller. Let's go to Greg. Greg, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Dr. Savage?
Go ahead. Make your point. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to say that I think that Obama should really stay out of the Middle East and out of Eastern civilization, period. Every time he's ran his mouth, whether it's back in the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and ousting Mubarak, interjecting in Libya, Syria, everything has gone into a volatile situation. And I just think that we've become a joke with his foreign policy. And if
all right, you're right about that. Now, here he's talking about the worst, by the way, the worst speeches of all in the Ukraine are coming from the lunatic, the warmonger, the madman, the lunkhead, John McCain. I want you to hear again what he's saying about us bailing out the Ukraine. Which soundbite is that one where he wants us to give money? Play the same clip again. You won't believe this one.
There's going to be a lot of violence, and the only thing I think that is holding Vladimir back right now is he wants to see the Olympics completed. I don't know what he does. I can't predict it, but he's not going to go quietly into the night. What we need to do is have them be part of the European Union and an IMF bailout, which we should be part of to help them with their economy.
Did you hear what he just said? He thinks it's 1955 and Eisenhower is president. We just won World War II. He wants us to bail out the Ukraine through the IMF. Can you believe that McCain gets away with this on a local radio station in Phoenix, Arizona? Do you realize how stupid the people of Arizona are to have fallen for this man again? Okay, look, it's my opinion. That's all. If you care to comment on the Ukraine situation, Obama wanting to put government agents into newsrooms, if you want to talk about Donald Trump running for the presidency, this is a good show to do it on. I also want to bring up, where have all the paintings gone? I have to talk about it. It's a local story, but it's a story that's going to become a national story. In San Francisco, over 700 pieces of art have disappeared. The San Francisco Arts Commission claims that they're on loan to government officials. And yet the government officials who have lent the paintings are saying they don't know where they are. They're doing a, quote, inventory of the paintings. The inventory has been going on for a very long time. They don't know where the paintings are? Well, we saw one of them in Dianne Feinstein's office. It was proudly displayed. These paintings are part of the public trust. Why is Feinstein sitting on a masterpiece when it's supposed to be in a museum or for the public to share? But that's only one example. Where are the others? This is something that was done during the Soviet years when the Politburo the equivalent of our Congress, basically lived like pashas, like kings, like dukes, and the rest of the people fought over a thin salami in a butcher shop. And so there we are. This is looting, isn't it? Is this looting, or is this just art that has been lent and soon it will come up? What's interesting is that this story was originally published in a left-wing rag, the SF Weekly. They finally had enough of the corruption and arrogance on display with the left-wingers that they put in power. And many of the left-wingers, since they have no right-wingers to attack, since there are none left in politics, are now attacking the corruption in their own backyard, which is long overdue. Now, the San Francisco Arts Commission has individuals who are on it. None of them would come on this show. We spoke to commission spokeswoman Kate Patterson Murphy, and we have her letter. We invited her on the show to discuss this, to see what her side of the story was, and she said that they're all traveling and unavailable to be on the radio show, but they're really glad we're interested in art. Well, I'm glad you're glad we're interested in art, whatever your name is. Here are the names of the San Francisco Arts Commissioners, none of whom will answer us as to where the paintings are. J.T. Beltran, Shireen Malania, Gregory Chu, Leo Chow, Charles Collins, Simon Frankel, Dorka Keene, Roberto Ordegnagna, Abby Sedin Schneer, Marcus Shelby, Janine Sciotta, Jessica Silverman, Barbara Sklar, Cass Calder-Smith, Kimberly Stryker, and Gwyneth Borden. Tell us where the paintings are. Now we have another list of names for those of you in the Bay Area. This is a Hall of Shame. It's a board of trustees of the Fine Arts Museums of San Francisco. They will not answer questions. Diane Wilsey, Belva Davis, Edward Baker, Zachary Bogue, Carol Bonney, David Chung, Penny Coulter, Mark Krusiger, Juliette de Bamigne, Denise Fitch, Vanessa Getty, Frankie Gillette, Frederick Galtz, Wheeler Griffith, Cynthia Gunn, Lucy Hamilton, Catherine Harbin, Holly Harris, Lori Hedrick, Daniel Johnson, Gretchen Kimball, Janet Lampkin, Catherine Lasseter, Lawrence Lowe, Holland Lynch. There are other names. None of them have been accused of wrongdoing, nor am I implying that any of these sterling individuals of the Young Museum Board have committed a crime. But we're asking them, where have all the good paintings gone? And if they don't know where they've gone, they better find out real fast, because this is becoming a gigantic national story. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
All right, welcome back to the program. We have, I guess we're on the verge of a civil war over in the Ukraine, being fueled by the United States and the European Union in order to, let us say, challenge Russian authority in its own backyard. It would be the equivalent of, let's say there's a breakaway movement in Texas, and Texas wants to break away from the United States of America. And activists are funded by Russia. They're armed by Russia. And they burn down a state capital. They take military hostage. I mean, what would you say? It's not in our interest to make sure that there's not a breakaway republic in the United States of America? I mean, which side are you on here is the question. Let's go to those of you who see it a different way, because this is the Savage Nation, and we're open to both opinions, or many opinions, let's say. WJR in Detroit, Bo differs with me on this. Bo, you have the floor. Go ahead, please.
Pleasure to speak with you. I've been listening to you for about 8 years. Now, I believe that what you're saying is possibility that you have the Soros invasion of the money and everything, but at the same time, we have family members that are there in Cave right now. And I'm first generation here in the United States. My parents came from that. They came under that Soviet yoke. And my grandparents died in Siberia in the prisoner camps over there, in forced labor camps. What we have going on here is Ukraine has been supposedly independent for 20 years. They're under the boot of the Russians. They want to get out from underneath that boot. Yanukovych got in there. There's a lot of voter irregularities like we have here in the United States.
Listen, I don't disagree with you as to the inclination of Putin to rebuild the ex-Soviet Union to a certain extent. But the European Union is famous for its institutionalized corruption, for its bribes, for its malfeasance, which, by the way, costs almost the same each year as Ukraine's entire GDP. So the European Union itself is corrupt.
I believe so. I know that they are. But the point is, Ukraine should have its... they should be able to petition their government and to move it over, because they did back out of a deal that they were supposed to go into. Now, Putin brings...
Bo, are you aware that the activists taking over government buildings in Kiev are associated with the Spilna Sprava group, which is funded and supported by billionaire globalist George Soros' Open Society Institute?
Right. I am aware. I know that these things are happening, but at the same time, you have the rest of Ukraine that have always wanted independence from the Soviet regime and Russia for 300 years. We've been enslaved practically by them, and they need to vacate Ukraine at this point in time. I mean, this is outrageous. If this was happening in Poland, would we be saying the same thing, or would we be saying, oh no, the Poles have the right to back away from these communists?
Okay, where do they get their weapons from?
Where do they? Well, a lot of them were surrendered by the people that are in the army now that align with Ukraine.
And are you aware of the fact that there was a documentary made about the so-called grassroots nature of this uprising that was created prior to the uprisings? And the inspiration behind the documentary was a man by the name of Larry Diamond, a CFR member?
Yes, I understand. Once again, I'm saying those two things...
Are you aware that this very, very, very dangerous Council on Foreign Relations is behind this uprising? So why should I, as an American who has seen the damage that the CFR has done these last 50 years, think that an independent Ukraine is going to be a boon for humanity and a boon for the Ukrainians themselves?
Well, Ukraine gets to choose if they want to be independent or not, or aligned whichever way they want to be aligned. But the point is that Ukraine...
Well, how did that work out for the Egyptians? I mean, well, we heard the same story about the Egyptians wanting to be aligned with whoever they wanted to be aligned with, and they wound up being aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood. How do we know that a fascistic dictatorship won't arise in the Ukraine? I mean, the Ukraine's history is not all, roses. There's a history of fascism in the Ukraine when it was an independent division, an independent nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays, noon till 3, on Talk 560 KSFO.
We Americans have no idea, truthfully, what's going on in this former Soviet Republic of the Ukraine. It's an ancient nation with a tremendous history going back thousands of years in terms of population, I mean in terms of inhabitants. At least 44,000 years has this area been inhabited. Did you know it's where the horse was first domesticated? All right, that has no meaning to you, but listen to me. There is a reason that the people who are joining in with the, let us say, protesters, rightly fear Vladimir Putin. Never forget that when the Ukraine was incorporated in the Socialist Republic of the ex-Soviet Socialist Republic, there was a genocide against Ukrainians. Millions of people were starved to death in 1932 and 1933. And so you have to understand that they also conducted a purge against the intellectuals of the Ukraine. They killed many of them. They imprisoned many of them. And so there's a real fear of the Soviets all over again, and they understand that the former KGB chief, Vladimir Putin, wants to reassemble the ex-Soviet Union, and they don't want it to happen. And so you can see both sides of the issue. You can see the Russian side. You can see the Ukrainian independence side. On the other hand, what is our side? We in America have to learn at a certain point to stay out of others' affairs. Have we not learned from Iraq? Have we not learned from Afghanistan? Have we not learned from Vietnam? Have we not learned from Korea what involving ourselves in foreign wars does to our men? The flower of our youth, crushed for some old men who want to make some money or make some hay, acting like they're Democrats out to save the world? Be very cautious when old men like McCain want to have us rush to war. Let him go back to war. Let him put on his old uniform and go over there and fight with the Ukrainians. And so the fact is, there's a complicated story. There's real fear on the part of the protesters in the Ukraine. On the other hand, it's not in our sphere of influence. And at this time, I don't see the same kind of repression going on. I don't see mass repressions of Ukrainian poets, repressions of historians and linguists. I don't see a genocide against Ukrainians going on. That's another story. But we're not in that place yet where we can argue for intervention. And so that's all I want to say. I think it's not in our best interest to get involved in this part of the world all over again, especially when this nation is bankrupt and Obama has decimated the U.S. military. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. It's the Savage Nation. Let's go to another topic. Tim in Des Moines, Iowa on KWQW. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thanks for your brave voice. We all appreciate it. I just had a comment about the missing art in San Francisco. Isn't that exactly what the Nazis were doing back in the day? I can't figure out if Obama's a
social... Oh, you can't accuse the Democrat machine in San Francisco of being like the Nazis, can you? Now, of course, Hermann Goering looted the art, but they would argue that he took it for his own personal viewing. Now, they didn't loot the art. The art that's missing is hanging in public offices, such as in Dianne Feinstein's office. We know for sure one piece hangs for her personal viewing pleasure. But where are the other 700 or so pieces of art? Whose offices are they hanging in? This is a public treasure. It's exactly what a fascist regime would do, which is tell the people to drop dead and we'll do what we want with the art.
Well, you were just saying, haven't we learned from this and that? Well, I think we did. Well, they probably did learn how to steal the art more effectively. And isn't there...
Tim, here's the problem, Tim. This is what happens when you have a one-party system in San Francisco, a one-party system in Sacramento, and no newspapers left. And this is what happens when you have total and absolute corruption. And remember the saying, Lord Acton, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. The Democrat regime in San Francisco is the most corrupt in the city. It is the most corrupt in the history of the United States since, let us say, 150 years ago when Tammany Hall ruled New York City. There is no oversight whatsoever. This is a case for the FBI, not for me. I'm only a talk show host who happens to live in San Francisco and appreciates fine art. I want to know who has that art. I have every right to know. And by the way, we invited them on the show and they wouldn't come on the show, Tim. 855-400-7282. KSFO, Carl, you're next up on the Ukraine. Go ahead, please.
Michael, hi. I was in Ukraine last month and I slept in the city hall with the protesters. I got an idea of what was going on there. I've been in Ukraine probably more than 400 days in the last 7 years. And I just can tell you the details about what the people are suffering under there. They're very easygoing people, very mild-mannered. I hardly see anybody honking their horns, getting mad at each other. So I was basically surprised about what's going on there right now. But if you look at the economic situation, the average wage outside of Kyiv is like $300 to $500 a month. Now that's for a man that's working and supporting a family. The other situation is the legal situation that people in America have no conception about what corruption is like in the world. Now I have a friend over there who has a law firm and she has 10 lawyers working for her. She has told me that she doesn't know one honest judge, and that basically what a lawyer does is make, like, legal arguments for the case, but the major issue is their connections with the police, the prosecutor, and the judges. And every...
Well, hold on. You mean that doesn't go on here in San Francisco?
Oh, Michael, they're not paying judges here. If they do...
Oh, they're not paying judges here. We know that for a fact?
I believe...
We know for a fact that we have an honest legal system in America. Ask anyone who's caught up in the legal system in America if it's an honest system. Ask anyone who's won a case and can't collect on it because it keeps going up to another level of appeal for year after year after year. That's a form of bribery, isn't it? When the judges refuse to find in favor of the just? Now, look, Carl, I understand there are degrees of corruption, but in San Francisco, for example, it's well known that certain palms can be greased for certain outcomes.
Okay.
But your position is what? That the Ukraine protesters are in need of our help?
No, Michael, I believe that all we can do in Ukraine and in Russia is something that Obama is not doing. He's not telling it like I'm telling it to you. He's not explaining it. And he keeps saying, and all the journalists keep saying, Russia this and Russia this. It's not the Russian people. It's Putin. He's a dictator who took over the national mass media. He ended local elections so that nobody can compete with him. Nobody can come up, work their way up in politics. There's only one election. It's either you approve of Putin or you don't.
Well, that sounds like the one-party system in California, doesn't it? Either you approve of a Democrat or you don't have any representation. How different is the dictatorship in California? When has a Republican ever risen to stand up for anything of any value here in this state? They've been crushed by the same exact Politburo in the state of California.
I agree with you, Michael. It's terrible what's going on here, like with Proposition 8. It's a disgrace, but it's not.
Neither people vote on ballot initiatives as Prop 187, if you remember. We voted on no medication, no education for illegal aliens. 7 million people said, yes, we want that. And one judge, one corrupt, rotten communist judge from the ACLU named Felton Henderson said, yet, no, like a communist dictator, he took away the votes of 7 million people. You know where he is today? That rat. Felton Henderson is sitting in Oakland, California in a cushy job as a judge overseeing the Oakland Police Department to make sure they don't arrest too many minorities. And tell me where the crime rate is in Oakland right now.
Michael, you're absolutely right. Everything you just said is absolutely right, and it goes all the way to the top of the Supreme Court. However,
I know there are degrees of corruption. I understand that the degree of corruption here is on a far lighter scale than it is in the Ukraine. I get it. But we're on the road to perdition. Nobody is talking about the corruption of our judicial system. Nobody is talking about the corruption of our voting in the state of California, where illegal aliens who have no right to vote whatsoever have put this corrupt, rotten machine in power and keep this rotten, corrupt machine in power. And they're rewarding them by putting them on the equivalent of Obamacare here so that the rest of us have to foot the bill for non-citizens for their medical care. What kind of system allows that if that's not rotten and corrupt?
Michael, at least we have you on the air, okay? But the problems, like in Syria, in Ukraine, I support McCain, like in Syria. I was in Syria. There needs to be somebody in the world who protects innocent civilians. There's nobody. We can go over there, we can give them food, we can give them medicine, but we can't protect them unless...
Okay, but I agree with that, but wait a minute. What about all the Islamists amongst the rebels? There are 1,000 groups that are fighting the dictator Assad, who is a certifiable evil man. But amongst that 1,000 groups of small armies of about 100 men each, making up an approximate opposition of 100,000 people, many of them are Islamists who would like to overthrow Assad so they could turn Syria into an Islamist state under the rule of Al-Qaeda. I mean, which side should we be on there?
Well, Michael, you're absolutely right, but it happened because Obama wouldn't get rid of the dictator 3 years ago. So all these people came in there. And right now, if you went on front line and you saw the moderates are fighting, they're fighting Al-Qaeda, they're having pitched battles, and they're taking back these towns from Al-Qaeda and the IS.
You mean in Syria, you've got the moderate rebels fighting the extremist rebels, right?
That's right. We have pitched
battles. No, I understand that. So now it's a civil war within a civil war going on in Syria. Once again,
that's right.
You think we should now put our young men into harm's way again over a civil war in Syria?
This is what I think, Michael. We need somebody like you and Donald Trump to get together and to take volunteers. Nobody should be conscripted to go fight in somebody else's war. But
I'm not going to do it. I don't believe. You know, this went on during in the 1930s when legions of American communists fought on the side of the people against Franco. If you know the history of that and how that evolved, your hair would stand up.
Right.
I've got to tell you a personal story about the good people who fought Franco, the dictator, the fascist. Many of these members of the American left who went over to fight against Franco joined some of the most vicious people on the planet. I remember when I first moved to San Francisco, I met an old communist in the streets of North Beach who boasted to me and some friends how when they captured the Spanish troops, how they tortured them in caves with such delight. What these wonderful communists did to the Spanish nationalist troops when they caught them. They were no damn better. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And in some cases, they were even more vicious and worse. So this is the problem in a civil war, Carl. There are good people and there are purely evil people. I don't think we need to stick our nose into another bear trap. I personally think we should stay out of Syria. I personally think we should stay out of the Ukraine. I know we had no business deposing Mubarak in Egypt. And I know that the execution of Gaddafi in Libya, remember what Hillary Clinton famously said? We came, we saw, he died, ha ha ha. Why did they execute Gaddafi so quickly? What secrets did Gaddafi have that they didn't want to come out in a trial? And tell me how Libya is doing. Gaddafi warned us before he was overthrown. He said, I warn you in the West, how well-meaning some of you may be, that once I am gone, you will have the equivalent of Mogadishu here in Libya. And that's what's emerging. You have tribes taking over Libya. While before we had a dictator, at least you could do business with the one dictator. Tell me how you can do business with 1,000 Arab tribes. It's the savage nation. I'm trying my best to maintain some global control of all of these topics all at once. 30 balls in the air is enough for any one man. It's 47 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The plan is to basically turn the tables on news organizations. Normally, reporters try to figure out the who, what, where, why, and when of a particular story, but now the Federal Communications Commission wants to know why stations cover certain stories. And their goal is to make sure the interests of women and minorities are being well represented on air, and that stories about things the FCC finds critically important, like the environment and education, are presented frequently.
This is Obama increasingly becoming a dictator, day by day, step by step, while talking about freedom of the press in the Ukraine. He is sicking the FCC to monitor our newsrooms and radio broadcasts to make certain that they paint the picture, the pictures he wants painted in the colors he wants them painted. And so therefore, if you want the equivalent of Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson dictating what can or cannot be said on a radio show, on a television program, or in a newspaper, that's what you got. You got it. You got it under Barack Obama, the man who's so concerned about press freedoms in the Ukraine. Pay close attention to what he's doing and not what he's saying. Let's go to the last caller of the hour, WMAL in Washington, D.C., where the Savage Nation is now booming. Elanya, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm a little bit worried. I was just very disagree with the guy I heard about maybe 15 minutes ago or so. He was saying that Ukraine is under pressure of Russia, which is absolutely not true, because I'm Ukrainian myself, and I lived in Ukraine all entire life for 29 years, and I lived on the border in Kharkov, and all of our people are extremely happy to be part of Russia.
So this is something the American people should know. There is no single idea in the Ukraine of wanting to join the EU or stay with Russia. The Ukraine is divided as to its loyalties. Many in the Ukraine are very happy to be part of the Russian sphere of influence, and many others would like to join the European Union, thinking that they will do better under the European Union. But the fact of the matter is, the EU is bankrupt. Where are they going to get the money for to bail out the Ukrainians? Secondly, doesn't Russia control all the natural gas coming into the Ukraine?
It's controlled, but beside that, it gives to Ukraine very good discount on gas. And,
All right, so you're saying something we haven't heard. There are many Ukrainians who want to be part of Russia, and there are many people in the Ukraine who want to be part of the EU. Well, I, as an American, say, we are exhausted from Iraq, we're exhausted from Afghanistan, and we have no business in the Ukraine any more than we had any business stirring up the hornet's nest in Egypt. And McCain should just go away. This lunkhead seems to want World War III at all costs. And never forget the money. Look into the short sale by Soros prior to this unrest.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
To lose Ukraine, Russia is then an eastern and lesser power. And take a look, take out your atlas, my friends, and look at where Ukraine is, and look at the number of people, and look at the economy of it, and Crimea, which their big naval base in Sevastopol is. So he is not going to let Ukraine go easily. There's going to be a lot of violence, and the only thing I think that is holding Vladimir back right now is he wants to see the Olympics completed. I don't know what he does. I can't predict it, but he's not going to go quietly into the night. What we need to do is have them be part of the European Union and an IMF bailout, which we should be part of to help them with their economy.
All right. We've heard from McCain before. We know that the man is a warmonger. He's always been on the wrong side of things ever since the Vietnam War. And, you know, I don't want to have to say it every time. He comes from a great family. The McCain name is a great name. He's frankly besmirched it as far as I'm concerned. But that's one man's opinion. And it's ironic to me that he keeps making the same mistake, whether it be in Egypt or in Syria or now in the Ukraine. He constantly goads the American people into wanting to go to war, which, if we haven't learned from Afghanistan and Iraq, is not our place. I mean, there's enough with the foreign wars, don't you think? In the first hour of the show tonight, we had Donald Trump on, and I think that he answered a lot of questions that many of you found to be pressing questions, and he answered them straight up. I didn't give him the questions in advance. When I said to Donald Trump, "Where do you stand on amnesty?" he said, "I totally oppose it. We can't have a nation that has no, immigration controls. We have to have voter ID." I mean, the man was right there on virtually everything. I think we disagreed on Snowden. He said he's a traitor. I think he's somewhat of a hero. But on everything else, I think we agreed. And now everyone on the show that's calling is only calling about the Ukraine situation. Before we take your calls in this hour on the program, I want to go back to an element of the story that you should not forget. It's not going to appear in any of your newspapers. It did not appear even on the site that's doing the best job on it, Alex Jones's site, on who's behind the protesters and how it's much more clouded than you may think. That not all innocent kids with iPhones looking to have freedom. There's another element, and it is this. George Soros doubled his bet that the stock market is going down. This came out, I think, the other day, and here it is. It says, blah, blah, blah. Over the weekend, a gigantic $1.3 billion position taken by an investor raised some eyebrows. Soros Fund Management disclosed that it held put options on 7,090,000 shares of the SPDR S&P 500 ETF SPY at the end of Q4. What does that mean? Well, a put position protects the holder of the option from declining prices. So, Soros's position makes money if $1.3 billion worth of the SPY goes down in value. And at $1.3 billion, this represents the largest position in the portfolio. Now, we know that the market, the S&P, is quite volatile. Markets went down, and now they're coming back. But over the position, Soros put $1.3 billion of his personal fund into a position that would only make money if the S&P fund declined in value. What does that have to do with the Ukraine? Maybe nothing. Maybe it's coincidental. But I'm very curious to ask you if you know anything about the Soros Open Society Fund or organization, about his move for democracy throughout the world, and why he's so interested in democracy in the Ukraine. And where is the market today? And did his fund cash in those put options? Did old Soros make a little money on the troubles in the Ukraine? I don't know the answers to those questions. Someone far more skilled in the financial world than I would have to investigate this and answer the questions. Nevertheless, there are always more elements involved in insurrection in a nation than may meet the eye. It's not as simple as innocent people wanting their freedom and an oppressive government that doesn't want to give them their freedom. Moreover, if you look carefully into the Ukraine, certain other troubling issues appear. For example, the Council on Foreign Relations, which has long been troublesome for those of us who believe in a sovereign nation called the United States of America, is deeply enmeshed in this unrest in the Ukraine. And there's a man behind it. His name is Larry Diamond, a Council on Foreign Relations member. Larry Diamond was deeply involved in the creation of a video which was funded by Prince Moulay Hisham of Morocco. And the inspiration behind the documentary was, again, Larry Diamond, a CFR member. The fact of the matter is, Larry Diamond worked with the National Endowment for Democracy and the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. What does that have to do with anything? Is this too much work for you? Well, according to Prison Planet, this is the best article on it by Paul Joseph Watson, one of our best journalists, by the way. The National Endowment for Democracy is considered to be the CIA civilian arm and has been deeply embroiled in innumerable instigated uprisings, attempted coups, and acts of neocolonial regime change since its creation in 1983. Now, that's what he's writing. Larry Diamond, it turns out, also played an instrumental role in the Arab Spring under the auspices of the NED, which were seen to be supposedly grassroots revolts that this author says were in fact organized and managed by some of the most powerful Western institutes on the planet. You can read the rest of it on your own by going into it. What I'm saying is there are many elements to this. Don't be dragged into it. We don't belong there. It's that simple. Now, would I have said the same thing during World War II when it was shown? I know it's going to come up. Would you have said don't intervene in foreign affairs when it came to the Jews in Auschwitz or in Treblinka or any of the other concentration camps? There are no concentration camps in the Ukraine. There are no railroad cars bringing protesters to the death camps in the Ukraine. So don't compare apples with oranges and say this is another Holocaust, because you're about to hear that again. Very soon you'll hear another one of the usual suspects come out and start in with fake pictures and show someone who's emaciated, probably from too much ecstasy and partying, telling you that it's a result of Vladimir Putin putting him into a concentration camp. Don't be fooled by that. Now let's take your calls on the Savage Nation. KSFO Norman, thanks for listening to the program. What's on your mind, Norman?
I just want to share with you that what's going on in the Ukraine, what's going on in Syria, Egypt, all of these things are just precursors to what is going to happen in this country, and all we can do is ask for people to pray, get close to God in the Bible, not through religion, understand the Bible. May I give you one script?
Well, I don't know that there'll be an insurrection in this country. I think that Obama is such a total controller and has so much control over so many aspects of our lives that it's almost impossible for there to ever be an uprising in this country that would get anywhere. Let me put it to you that way. He has taken absolute control. First of all, let me start with the military. One of the elements you should know about in the Ukraine is that the army is actually smaller than some of the men who are fighting the protesters. This is interesting because Obama would like to create a national security force in this country that's larger and better funded than the U.S. military. You say, come on, he can't do that. Well, he's on the road to doing it. He's not only shrunk the military, he's fired every commanding general who might have stood up to him. You don't see that happening because the useless idiots in the media aren't reporting it. That's number one. Number two, we learned today that Obama's going to put government snoops into newsrooms and radio rooms in order to control the content of every show in this country. That was leaked not by me. No, I didn't make it up. An FCC member of the FCC himself said this is alarming. This is wrong. But it's not stopping the communist regime in the White House from moving ahead with absolute and total control over the media, as if they don't have enough control, controlling 98% of the content on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, and all the other outlets. They want the last 2% to be under their thumb as well. If that doesn't worry you, you don't belong in America. You belong in Egypt. That's what I want to say. Now, I asked my friend who emailed me and said, this is one of your best shows ever. Dr. Sarfati is a friend of mine. He listens to most shows. I have many friends who don't listen to the show, but they like to say they know me in order to capitalize on knowing me. That's good. I don't care. I don't own them. They don't own me. But I asked him, why would you say this is one of the best shows ever? Here's what he said. Rich content, almost overwhelming adrenal rush like car chase thriller in bullet movie. Rich content, almost overwhelming adrenal rush like car chase thriller and bullet movie. Every topic important, hard-hitting, explained clearly. Good callers, including Trump. Thanks, Jack. I like the car chase thriller and bullet movie. That reads very well. 855-400-7282. Ukraine is the topic. It's not going away. It's going to get bigger, not smaller. You have to understand that they've captured 70 soldiers. They've put them into an internment camp. Your friendly little protesters have captured soldiers. Many of them have been seen with scope rifles. Where did they get their weapons from? I don't think that guns are allowed in the Ukraine. Where did the so-called peaceful protesters get weapons? Ask yourself the question. Not allowed to have guns. Where did they get their weapons from? By the way, the protesters are helping make Molotov cocktails for the more militant Occupy movement types that are willing to throw the Molotov cocktails into the faces of the police. And so you say it can't happen here, and I pray to God it doesn't happen here. Let's keep our eyes focused on what's happening there. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
The Ukrainians who want freedom from the Russians have a right to self-determination, no question about it. But you have to understand that by joining the EU, they're going to be going to bed with a partner that may be worse than Russia. The corruption of the EU is overwhelming. The abuse by the EU is overwhelming. The fact that no one gets what they want when they join the EU is overwhelming. But most importantly, and the Ukrainian people should know this by now, especially those running this opposition movement, once they join the EU, they have to agree to open borders. Their nation will be overrun by the dregs of the European Union, who will abuse them, rape them, bring crime, start running women out of the Ukraine as slaves. Make no mistake about it. You may be getting yourself into a worse situation than you are right now, and far worse than you might be with Russia. And people should understand this. The EU is no shining light on the hill. It is no shining beacon on the hill whatsoever. In fact, most freedom-loving peoples in the nations that have been gobbled up by the EU wish to God the EU would go you know where. And they wish to God that the elites who put them under the yoke of the EU would be brought to The Hague for a trial. Unfortunately, The Hague is run by even more radical leftists than the leaders who sold out their own nations to the EU. It's one man's opinion. It's one man's opinion. I have a good grasp of international affairs, but it's only my opinion. You may disagree with me. Maybe you disagree with me as to what Obama is doing of taking over newsrooms. It's been out for 2 weeks now. You haven't heard about it, have you? The FCC wants to come into the newsrooms in America and ask reporters and editors about their editorial choices in the, quote, multi-market study of critical information needs. It's right out of George Orwell, who would turn over in his grave. They want to ask newsrooms and editors and broadcasters the process by which stories are selected and how often stations cover critical information needs, along with, quote, perceived station bias and, quote, perceived responsiveness to underserved populations. Is that the country you want to live in? Is that how far you have fallen as an American liberal, that you want a fascistic government agent in every newsroom and in every broadcast room in this country? If so, then you are the very enemy that you feared your whole life, which I've told you for all the years you've listened to me and tried to mock me, even though inside you knew I was right every step of the way. We're living on the verge of the loss of all of our freedoms under this dictator Obama. I know you don't want to hear it. He's becoming increasingly like a martinet, and like a very dangerous martinet at that. This is no longer a tin soldier marching and making jokes. This is a man who wants absolute power. Make no mistake about it. He's on the verge of absolute power. Why? Because there's no opposition from the drunks and the winos in the Republican Party. We should have an opposition party, shouldn't we? We should have an opposition media, shouldn't we? We should have independent voices in America, shouldn't we? But instead, Obama signs the Farm Bill, and you know nothing about the FCC wanting to go into newsrooms in order to control what's left of an independent voice in the media. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. If you want to talk about that, what can you say that I haven't said already? How is this constitutional? What newsroom in America would allow the feds to influence their sources, content, broadcast, or distribution without a fight? Who would give up First Amendment rights without fighting over them? Well, many of the news networks gave them up a long time ago. They want access to Air Force 1, 2, 3, and 4. They want access to the parties. They want to write about Michelle's dog grooming tips. And you understand that if you want to write about Michelle's $15,000 dress or the dog Bo's grooming tips, why, then you have to give up your freedom of speech and your freedom of the ability to write what you wish to write. In Baltimore, Maryland. In Baltimore. Brandon, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike. I got a commentary on the origins of probably where the or where it could be coming from the Ukraine uprising. I know that the United States Agency for International Development, the USAID, has a lot of influence on starting these grassroots movements through Twitter and other media organizations. Like, I used to work in government contracting, and I worked with somebody who worked for the USAID.
Yeah. So what's your point, that there's more manipulation than meets the eye?
Yes, and I want people to be speculative, because we really don't know, but I think that that could be a possibility.
Well, I know that it's not a possibility. I know it's a reality. There's no question that USAID, CFR, George Soros has opened whatever fund, are all deeply enmeshed in the uprisings going on around the world. Make no mistake about it, this is probably factual rather than supposition. Now, one of the strangest individuals in this whole issue is this guy, Bolton. I never trusted him. The guy who looks like a walrus. The guy, you know him, that guy with a lot of hair, always looks like a walrus, pretends to be a conservative. He now wants war over the Ukraine. That's your old Bolton. Remember him? He belongs to be out of power for the rest of his life. Remember Bolton, the one who looks like a seal or like a walrus, and no one believes a word he says? He wants war. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Nation. Los Angeles bishop kept altar boy list from police. Again, attacked the church. It's the biggest problem. Don't talk about the Muslim training camps in America. Talk only about the churches. Stick to the script, you left-wing fanatics, till you wind up with your throats cut and thrown down a well. See, now I'm getting angry. See, now it's turning the other way now. You didn't hear about the Muslims with firearms in training camps around America. Didn't make it to your neck of the woods? It was on the WorldNet Daily site the other day by a very reputable author who I know very well, named Art Moore. Art is a first-class journalist. New terror compound found in heart of Texas. Declassified FBI documents confirm the existence of an Islamic jihadist enclave in Texas that is part of a network in the U.S. identified by the Department of Homeland Security as a terrorist organization. And they list all... Remember we reported on this over 10 years ago that there was one up in the Catskill Mountains and we were called nuts? Well, guess what? They were in the Catskill Mountains, and you were nuts if you didn't hear the gunfire. I'm asking, why has Obama's DHS and FBI not closed down these Muslim training camps around America? Don't answer the question, because the NSA is listening. 855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. What else do we want to talk about? We went over that one pretty quickly. Pennsylvania couple sent to prison for second prayer death. Again, attack the Christians. See? Anything that's negative on Christians or the family makes it to the AP website. Anything that's negative on you-know-who and you-know-what is never seen and the pictures are never shown. The most disturbing video of the day, which is, I'll read you the headline. West Virginia Pizza Hut worker caught urinating in sink, fired, and there's a video of it. That is disgusting. Now, they don't identify the quote, gentleman. I love when they use gentleman. The gentleman who peed in the sink. But if you look at it carefully, you can see that it's one of Obama's future citizens. And, you know, he could use a cultural defense, which is that in his country, that's the way they do it. And he can't read English, where it says, Lavos los manos. So maybe he thought Lavos Los Manos means something else. He's probably illiterate in Spanish as well as English. You don't realize that most of the immigrants into this country that are illegal can't even read and write Spanish. You don't know that. They all come here to work. Well, this one worked and relieved himself in the sink at Pizza Hut. The company says it has zero tolerance for violations of its operating standards, right? The employee was fired. His name was not released. I'm sure he went to work for the federal government the next minute. The video shows the manager urinating in the sink. It's disgusting in the kitchen. It's unbelievable to me. The restaurant is closed until it is thoroughly cleaned and there are reassurances of safeguards. You know, I don't want to generalize. About a year ago, I had a Pizza Hut incident. Local, right in the Bay Area. I had a food poisoning that I hadn't had in 10 years. I hadn't had it as bad since Thailand, when I was actually in the third world. But they're importing third world workers. What do you expect to happen? What do you expect to happen? If you bring people into the country, you bring their third world mentality to your country, you think that they're going to come up to your level, or they're going to bring your country down to their level? You want me to get started on this? Okay, yeah, get me to the salad bar next. Tell me how the lettuce is handled. I just got an email. He says, Mike, listening in the cab in New York en route to LaGuardia, Russian cabbie loves you. Thank you. The reason Russian cabbies love me is because they know reality and they know what's coming. They've been there, done that. You right? Here's one from a lawyer of mine. I'm flying to Phoenix, getting ready to eat our delicious first-class meal and listening to you via stream. Boom, there goes my appetite. You heard about the Pizza Hut guy. Yeah, like, oh, yeah, airport kitchens are really clean, right? They got a white hat on, so therefore you know it's the food quality is just perfect. Now, you understand why my relatives, they were all immigrants. So they were poor, so we didn't eat in restaurants, but very seldom. It was an occasion. That was a different day. Everyone eats in restaurants today. That's a thing. So in those days, they didn't. It was very expensive to eat in restaurants. They cooked at home, but they didn't trust restaurant food. And the women always suspected restaurant food was of inferior quality. What do you want to eat that garbage for? Like if I would say I'm going to a Chinese restaurant up on Union Turnpike. What do you want to eat that garbage for? They were right. It killed most of the men in the neighborhood before the age of 50, those greasy noodles. You know that they don't even serve those greasy noodles from Cantonese restaurants in Queens out west of the Hudson River? They won't permit them west of the Hudson. They're considered like a toxic product. Those greasy noodles, you know, like no one's... Ew. I remember when I first came to San Francisco when I really ate Chinese food for the first time in my life. It was so different because the numbers of different cuisines you can get here. My favorite happens to be Hakka. I like Hunan, but it's a little greasy. I like Hakka. 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 You know why? Hakka cuisine is Chinese cuisine. They cook in clay pots, and it's people from a region of China that cooked on the run. They had to learn how to cook quickly over fires in crock pots. Kind of reminded me of the story of the ancient Israelites always on the run. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe there's a connection before Al Gore came along and there was the Great Flood. I don't really know. I don't know how people are connected. At the end of the day, we are all connected, some way or somehow. The family of man is really connected. You look at what's going on in the Ukraine. Whoa. You don't even know what's going on there and who's behind it. Shall I get into that? Have you seen what's going on in the Ukraine? See, this is the anti-government rhetoric where it leads. Now, you may say, all right, but they have a point. At what point should there be a revolution? They decided it was at that point. You know, I mean, it's just going on. They have a first class in the Ukraine now. Yeah, the Ukraine. And it's because a group of them want to join the EU, and the group that runs the country wants to stay connected to the Putin Russia. And the group that wants to break away and join the EU, the so-called progressive group, originally distanced themselves from the violent ones amongst them. In other words, the Occupy types, the anarchists that would throw firebombs through windows. Well, now they're actually making the firebombs for the more violent elements of the anti-government forces. So there it is. Ukraine president agrees to truce. Where this ends, nobody knows. Where this ends, nobody knows. Well, I mean, what's waiting for them when they join the EU? What are they going to have, the equivalent of Britain, Londonistan? I mean, they think they're going to get a handout when they join the European Union? Where's the European Union going to get money for them, for the Ukrainians? Ukraine President Viktor Yanukovych says he has agreed to a truce with opposition leaders after at least 26 people died in protest this week. Negotiations aimed at ending the bloodshed the last 2 days. Agreed to stabilize the situation, state of the interest of social peace. Earlier today, the president sacked the head of the armed forces. Sacked. That's a kind of British phrase. Sacked. got sacked. It's a football phrase, sacked. The world's in turmoil, my friends. Thieves are using mafia-like tactics to steal nuts from California farmers, field workers, and truck drivers who say their lives are being threatened. As everyone looks to cash on an $8 billion industry, even that now is, I can't believe that. Look at this, the treasure that's driving crooks nuts. Thieves are using mafia-like tactics to steal nuts from California farmers, field workers, and truck drivers who say their lives are being threatened. I didn't know nuts were so valuable. $8 billion a year industry, but they're robbing nuts? What are they, like squirrels in human bodies? California's nut industry brings crooks out of the woodwork. What is this? Who's behind this? Farmers like Barrett Blaine say some growers have had their lives threatened. My best friend had a shotgun pulled on him while he went to confront some people. It's generally hit the small family farmers hit the hardest. Their entire crop, blah, blah, blah. Last year in the Central Valley, thieves drove off with more than 500 grand in almonds, walnuts, and pistachios. So who's doing this? I can pretty much guess. They won't say because it'll bring up the issue of illegal aliens again. See, this is what goes on in their country. No, you expected them. You expected the illegal aliens to come up to your level. You never thought they'd bring it down to their level, right? Food quality would go down. Criminality would go up. Health values would go down. The school system would collapse. The hospitals would collapse. Oh, no, you're a racist for saying what's reality. Authorities are asking for farmers to be vigilant. You hear? Be vigilant. That's really good. Our job is to know, how could they be robbed? They're robbing nuts? A truckload containing the typical 21 tons would be worth approximately $300,000. Oh, they steal the truck already after it's loaded up. They don't actually go pick the nuts, do they? They're stealing an entire truck by armed assailants. California is the most mismanaged state in the land. The country, the state is in turmoil. The roads are broken. The people are taxed to death. Crime is out of control, and everyone says it's wonderful now. Okay, don't call on a nut thing. What are you going to say about that? 855-407-282. Two guards aboard Captain Phillips' ship found that disturbing story. Their two Navy SEALs went to work as private guards, and they're found dead on the ship in the hold. What is that all about? That's a shocking story. A post-mortem will be carried out, the cause of their deaths. The Maersk, Alabama, had been docked in Seychelles, an archipelago in the Indian Ocean just northeast of Madagascar. Well, okay, the two Americans were identified as Jeffrey Reynolds and Mark Kennedy. The men, both 44, were found dead Tuesday in a cabin while the vessel was docked. Now, this is the movie known for a pirate attack in 2009 off the coast of Somalia, featured in the Tom Hanks movie Captain Phillips. Well, this is obviously a get-even by the Somalis. And they were let aboard that ship by somebody to kill the SEALs, probably in their sleep. That would be my first guess as a amateur homicide investigator. 855-400-72. If I have to open one more website about one of the sluts' wardrobe malfunctions, I think I'm going to burn my computer. Has the New York Post fallen to such a low level that every day they must show another piece of white trash slut with a wardrobe malfunction? Is that the best that Murdoch can do? Every day, the same thing. Wardrobe malfunction. Oh, look at that. How exciting. It's a woman's body. Wow, Murdoch, you're really hitting a new high in media. Who took over that newspaper? Every day, wardrobe malfunction. Another white trash garbage. Drug addict, nymphomaniac slut. Let something hang out of a shirt. I'm supposed to fall, drop dead, and buy the newspaper. Ooh, look at it. Ooh. And bring it home now. Maybe have a family discussion over it. What a country. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey. Well, as we cruise into the end of hour number three on the Savage Nation, let's review the news headlines. Obama warns the Ukraine of consequences for bloody crackdown on protesters. First of all, it's not in our sphere of interest. This is in Russia's sphere of interest. That's number one. Number two, why is the warmonger McCain, the warmonger Kerry, and the warmonger Obama all of a sudden telling Russia what to do? Do you have any idea who has been funding these violent, murderous protesters? Do you know that they fired upon the police with guns? Now, let me ask you something. What if there was an anti-government movement in America here, and the group had fired on police, killed police, taken 70 police hostage, and burnt the Capitol to the ground? Would our government have the right to crack down on them? Or would we listen to Putin telling Obama, there will be consequences for your bloody crackdown on protesters? Do you understand what's going on here? This is all part of the Soros New World Order conspiracy to weaken Russia, period. That's number one. That's a big story, but you wouldn't understand that because the narrative has been twisted by the vermin in the media. Senator John McCain, the lunkhead, wants World War III. Another disturbing story, the FCC plans to monitor newsrooms. I swear to God. Obama the maniac, Obama the dictator, is sending in his minions of minority gangsters to make sure the interests of women and minorities are well represented on the air and in stories and on the environment and on education. That's what the monster regime is doing in Washington. What we need is intervention from the UN to save us from this dangerous regime. Regarding the Keystone XL pipeline, Obama says we only have one planet. Tell that to Warren Buffett, who's bringing the oil in from Canada in his railroad cars. That's the whole reason the Keystone XL pipeline is not being built in the minds of many. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the environment, and Obama knows it. It has to do with the profits of his number one supporter. You know who that is, don't you? Mr. Railroad, Mr. Nice Guy, Warren Buffett. Meanwhile, Bush has a lot to say on things going on. He says he misses Air Force One. In 8 years, they never lost my baggage. Great, George. You're a great, great inspiration to all of us. Here in San Francisco, we're asking about 1,000 pieces of art, fine art, have gone missing under the watchful eye of the San Francisco Arts Commission. Where have all the paintings gone? Do you realize what a scandal this is? This is something the Soviet Politburo would have done. The systematic looting of German art by the Soviet Union made Polish communists very nervous. Did you know that? This is the looting of art by our leadership. Yet this looting is seen as no big deal or business as usual by the San Francisco Arts Commission. This art does not belong to the Art Commission. This art does not belong to the board of directors of the Young Museum. This art does not belong to Dianne Feinstein. It is not meant to be on display in Dianne Feinstein's office. Did you hear what I just said? This is a public trust. Where in the world is the FBI on this great story that is emerging about this art scandal in San Francisco where nearly 1,000 pieces of fine art have disappeared? Why has there been no investigation? Answer. Take a look at your senators. Take a look at your congresswomen. That's what a Democrat regime does. They loot art, they sack the treasury, and they talk about the environment and Medicare. Well, if you want more news than this, you're really a political junkie. So I'll leave you with one thought. I woke up laughing this morning. It was so depressing. The only thing that got me out of bed was continuing my political zoo, thinking that if I rewrote the book or revised it, I would add John Boehner, who would be known as Klinkus Meltus, the melted ice cube. Ted Cruz would be known as Coffea America's Blandus, the bland American coffee bean. Eric Cantor, remember him? I would call him Bagelus Stalus, the stale bagel. Ann Coulter would be Screechus Righteous. If I put Chris Christie in the new political zoo book, I would name him Rotundus Bridges Tufaris, the big round bridge too far. Joe Biden would be added to the political zoo as Crackpotus Overbitus. Valerie Jarrett would be added as Iranian Plantus. Finally, I would add Mitt Romney under the Latin binomial Nice Gaius Fallus. Well, that's it, my friends. Give me 15 minutes and I've given you America. This is Michael Savage signing off.
Savage.